I am not a mascot. My children are not this university's honored symbol. My extended family here in this community and elsewhere are not false, degrading imagery portrayed by Chief Alinowick. We are a proud people whose strong, perpetual traditions and beliefs have survived near destruction and annihilation.
This is Community Radio, and you're listening to Liberación, the nexus of local and global politics, art, and struggle. Liberación provides audiences with perspectives rarely heard on corporate-sponsored media stations. Our guests include educators, grassroots activists, artists, workers, and independent analysts who engage both local and global struggles, embracing a vision of freedom, solidarity, and social change.
My name is Regina Sosi. I am a Native American woman. My clan is Honolani, born for Ashihi. I am the mother of a Navajo student who is in her third year here at the school. I am so proud of her high achievements as a young Native woman and proud as well of the accomplishments of her Native peers. They are making their hallmark in the circle of academia, within the circle of their Indian culture, tradition, and beliefs. But this circle is in danger of becoming fragmented due to the rise of racist acts and behavior on this campus because of this university which fosters a racial symbol. The malicious threats posted on Facebook are powerful words of hate, violence, and hostility that are becoming acts of hate, violence, and hostility directed toward Native American people and people of color. The racist views are supported by over 100 members of If They Get Rid of the Chief, I'm Becoming a Racist. Notice how chief and racist go hand in hand. This demonstrates how this university's honored symbol, Chief Alinowick, is fueling racism and violence, emanating hate, and planting bad seeds of oppression. I am very worried and concerned for my daughter's safety, for the safety of the Native people here, the staff, the students, the community, and I call upon you to do what is right. Thank you.
I've been here 6 years. For 6 years, I've heard about the chief. I am tired of hearing about the chief. Finally, will there be some kind of solution? It's only escalating with the latest episode, right?
This house is packed. There are no seats left in Follinger.
This shows this issue really lives.
Hi, my name is Shomnath. I work here at UFI, and I'm here at the forum to talk about racism, which I think is very important in the context of conflict that we have with the chief and also some recent events on campus, like party at Fraternity House, which had racist themes. And in general, I think a lot of people of color essentially feel alienated and not very comfortable with the culture, which is at times borders towards racism, that prevails on campus. And I'm just here to find out what it's all about, listen to what the administration has to say, and see where we can go with this.
My name is Joe Podlasek, and I am the executive director of the American Indian Center. And we're really honored to be here today to partake in this. A lot of our community has come down to support the students and to move forward in a positive direction. And what we wanted to do today, before we start the forum, we'd like to ask one of our elders to start us off in a prayer, bring us moving in a good direction.
Poso, come before you with humble heart. Open your ears and find your balance in life. Your next breath should always be of joy, not to hurt mankind. Keep your ears open. Have your soft voice. Hear our words. Hear our hurts. Let's heal. Heal our hearts. Heal our minds. We have this country, freedom. What does that mean? Are we using that wisely? We live in a world of complex things, too many things that bother us, that cloud our mind up, cloud our tongue up. They can get, too far. Everybody has feelings inside, so let those feelings nurture on something good. Let's not hurt one another. Remember that. I say wawanan, thank you in my language for this opportunity.
Okay, we'd like to call this forum to order now. Welcome to everyone here, and if you don't mind people coming in, please fill in. We have overflow room, obviously, in Gregg Hall, and we're also webcasting so that we're reaching a national audience for this important occasion. Forum on Racism, Power, and Privilege at UIUC. Thank you for taking part, for joining us in what we believe is going to be a very, very important event, a productive and rewarding session, dialogue that we hope will carry us forward.
My name is Selena Villanueva, and I'm here today to explain to you how we have gotten to this point. On October 5th, 2006, an event, Tacos and Tequila, was held by a fraternity and sorority on the UIUC campus. The event had been celebrated for decades prior to this particular incident. However, this event resulted in the participation of 20 of the fraternity and sorority members depicting stereotypical Mexican images during their quote-unquote celebration. Weeks after several intense meetings with students, community members, faculty, and some administration, a protest was held on October 31st. However, even after a very public demonstration by students, hundreds of students of color and faculty, there were several incidents of students participating in blackface for Halloween. This has not been the first time that these incidents such as these have occurred on university campuses, and this has not been the first time that the administration did not respond in a prompt manner. The chancellor and his office did not issue a statement regarding the events until 4:39 p.m. on October 31st, several hours after the protest and 3 weeks after the incident. The mailing never indicated that the event and the stereotypical images were racist. The chancellor simply referred to them as juvenile, insensitive, and thoughtless. The event was indeed racist, and the university has played a major role in perpetuating the institutionalization of racism on campus, as well as an imposed code of silence for students of color. With the inclusion of the KKK as a formal part of the university throughout several decades, the history of racism is more than apparent. During this time, they were famous for producing minstrel shows, mocking Asian, Native, and African Americans, fomenting racial and gender tensions through its violent and patriarchal rhetoric and practices, until their eventual incorporation into mainstream fraternity. Another reason that gathers us here today is the most exceptional form of blatant racism, which perpetuates the ability for students to promote and participate in events such as Tacos and Tequila, and that is the chief. There is a connection between the acceptance of the mascot and the events that have taken place. By allowing for the chief to exist as a symbol of this university, you condone the acts of the participants in Tacos and Tequila. There are other factors that have led up for us being here today. Student activism has brought us very far. Various student movements have occurred on this campus alone that has led to several alterations on campus. In 1968 and 1992, the movements coordinated by students of color resulted in demands that the university implement in order to promote and incorporate students of color into the university. 1968 ultimately saw the formation of the African American Studies Research Program, as well as Project 500, which was the first major attempt by the campus to provide equal educational opportunities for students of color. Ultimately, 565 newly admitted African-American Latino students began as U of I freshmen that year. However, numbers for Latino and African-American students remained relatively the same up to this date. 1992 saw the implementation of the Latino-Latina Studies Program. In both of these instances, retention and recruitment rates, as well as the inclusion of faculty of color, were addressed in the demands presented by the students to the administration. However, we find ourselves still dealing with these same issues. They were fighting for it in 68, they were fighting for it in 92, and we're still fighting for it now. We must also remember that the blatant form of racism that is the chief has been fought for against for decades. On March 30th, 2000, the Board of Trustees held a Chief Illiniwek dialogue, and American Indians from Chicago and as far away as Mississippi filled this same auditorium, issuing statements articulating their objections to Chief Illiniwek. Also, in April 1994, Native students filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. After numerous attempts to retire the chief, this also has gone unnoticed. The truth is that we are still fighting for the right to be heard on the UIUC campus. Today, the organized efforts of students continue, and this time a diverse body of students, faculty, and community members are working together because we recognize that even in our respective communities, we are oppressed by the same ideologies. This perpetual code of silence for students and faculty of color, as well as those in opposition to the chief, is imposed not only by rants and threats made by ignorant, racist people, but by administration that has ultimately put our safety at risk. By not condemning the symbol of racism that is the chief, this ultimately comes to the point why we are here. After the protest on the 31st, a few dozen students who formed part of the larger protest met with Vice Chancellor Romano to set a date to continue the discussion about the incident, as well as the larger social issues affecting the campus. An agreement was made that two meetings would take place, a smaller scale meeting that took place the next day and several meetings after that, and a larger forum for more students to have space to vent their frustrations and concerns. After months, we are finally here, along with top administrative officials who can make the change we have been asking for. In the mass mail sent out by the Chancellor answer, he stated that Illinois students are the best and the brightest of the next generation. But it is up to you as administrators to facilitate that excellence. And I will state here and now, those students who decided to partake in the events such as tacos and tequila and blackface are not your best and brightest students at all. For your best and brightest students stand here in front of you in solidarity, regardless of the loom of threat and hatred based on their sole existence, regardless of the possible threats made against them because of their belief. I stand here before you, no longer under the code of silence, unafraid to voice my opinion on the ignorant, uneducated souls of the perpetrators of these acts, as well as the ignorance of those who don't understand why the chief is racist. As I stated before in front of the Board of Trustees weeks after the incident, if you continue to allow the chief to represent this university, then in essence you are condoning the actions of perpetrators to make my culture and heritage their costume. This forum, titled, is to create a space for positive change where critical barriers such as racism, power, and privilege are openly acknowledged. We also aim to prompt administrators to address these concerns, to be proactive and efficient in working with all of the parties to improve and repair the situation, to make UIUC a world-class institution.
My name is Durango Mendoza. I'm an enrolled member of the Muscogee Creek Nation of Oklahoma and a 14-year resident of Urbana. And my wife and daughter have graduated from this institution, and I want to cut to the chase. Chief Alinowick and his on-field antics are an insult to me. Chiefs, real or their costumed representations, do not belong at halftime entertainment, especially this fake chief who prances for the descendants of his inventors, no matter how sentimental they may feel. Over the years, I have heard many comments and rationales that try to dismiss the depth of his offensiveness to Native Americans and those who support respect for First Nations people. Some comments reveal an ugly and willful ignorance that belie their talk of honor and make their speakers satires of themselves. The concepts of human kindness and respect for others are blithely dismissed and replaced with terms like political correctness run amok, or they're just liberal whiners. Yet, it is they who whine about not being able to remain unpleasant, boorish, racist, sexist, or just plain mean who often use these dismissive terms. They claim to not understand how they and what they support are wrong in a humane context just because there are a bunch of them who want to keep the erroneous status quo. Illinois mascot was the sappy invention of some wrong-headed Boy Scout for the people of his time who wanted to have a good time while hiding from their nation's guilt. It is time to shine a light on your outdated might makes it right mentality. Retire this retro-manufactured nostalgia for a way of thinking that was wrong from its beginning. Stand down from the schoolhouse door and let your chief go, and let true respect for Native people and for all people come in. Mado.
My name is Shivali, and I'm a member of Coalition Against Coke Contracts, CACC. CACC stands in solidarity with all the anti-chief groups on this campus. University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign continues to maintain business relationships with corporations that have egregious records of human and labor rights violations and environmental degradation. This is particularly true regarding UofI's exclusive contract with Coca-Cola that not only constrains the choice of beverage on this campus, but also forces the students, staff, and faculty to subsidize human rights violations. Despite broad-ranging protests from campus community, the University of Illinois continues to protect Coca-Cola, a company that puts profit over people. Coalition Against Coke Contracts, a student and community organization, has brought these issues to the attention of administration. On September 12, 2006, CACC filed an official complaint with the Chancellor's office and submitted supporting documentation to the Office of Chancellor and the Licensing Advisory Committee. We have still not received a formal response from the administration. We are deeply concerned about the lack of action on the part of administration, considering the fact that the current contract expires this June. CACC has met with the chair of LAC several times, but hasn't received a definitive response. Instead, we were met with intimidation by the RSO office before our public event in October. As concerned students, faculty, staff, and community members, we demand that University of Illinois should not engage in a contractual relationship with Coca-Cola. We urge the university to provide the campus community a clear statement of its position on this issue. And if you all support socially fair business practices on this campus, please make sure you sign a petition that's going around. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Nora Johnson. I'm a resident of Urbana. About a year ago, last April, a picture was posted by the Orange and Blue Observer of my child. There is the words, "Hit me," and an arrow pointing to my child's face. Now, my family became aware of this photograph in early October, and we contacted the university and demanded the picture's immediate removal. I know that you, the Dean of Students, William Riley, your office was contacted and refused to do anything because you said that an RSO was out of your jurisdiction. They're an independent organization, and they make their own decisions about the contents of their website. The picture is still up. I have a picture that was printed out Tuesday night, and it's still online now. And I want to say that every time the university allows hate speech, every time the university allows hate in any form, every time the chief dances at halftime, that hate the university acknowledges is okay by not doing anything about it spreads like wildfire. I hope that the university will immediately remove the chief and start cracking down on hate in all of its forms. Would you like a copy of the photo of my child? I'll send it up.
Good afternoon. My name is Raul A. Mora. I'm originally from Colombia. Place of the world where we value life high because some people put a really low price tag on it. And back home, when you hear the word threat, you worry. We don't use the word bomb threat to skip class. We don't use the word death threat to because it's funny on Facebook. When you hear the threat, you do something about it before someone gets killed. And I recently wrote a blog. It's on Facebook also. And I said, please retire the chief before somebody gets hurt. I think what I meant was somebody gets killed. Because what happens after a threat is an action. Anybody who thinks I'm overreacting, feel free to ask any person in Columbine, Colorado. Feel free to ask the family of Matthew Shepard in Laramie, Wyoming, if I'm overreacting. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a Charlotte Wilkinson in Yashia, Shea, Na, Kaidina, Nishlingo, a waterbuster clan, a Bushes Chin, Kintlichini, Dasha Che, Nana, Flint Knife Clan, a Dashanella. I stand before you today as a Navajo Mandan Hidazan, a Rickarau woman, and I have a few things to say about this mascot. As Native people, the right to decide what offends us belongs to us and only us. It is wrong for one race of people to appropriate the cultures of another race of people. Objectification is about power. With the continued processing of the Native American through Western consciousness is to continue to become miseducated. I encourage everyone to get educated by enrolling in many of our American Indian Studies courses, by attending many of our programs and events, and finally, get educated by talking with us.
My name is Reverend Jerome Chambers. I am the president of the Champaign County NAACP. I tip my hat to all Native Americans who came to say, enough is enough. Now, let me say, a few Sundays ago, President White, president of the University of Illinois, spoke at the Martin Luther King Day at Cranert. I must say, President White, I started not to come because I wondered, what did he really know about black people? But I came and I was impressed because you knew more about us than many of us know about us. Now, here's why I say this. Any people that do not know their history are a people destined for extinction. Native Americans have stood up, spoken in their own tongues, their own languages, and said to the University of Illinois, enough is enough. I go on here today, the first day of Black History Month, saying there are none so blind as those who will not see.
Hi. Whether or not I support the chief, I feel is irrelevant. I'd just like to bring a few things to light. First off, as it views to me, the chief is a symbol from an older time, something that I sincerely believe would not be formulated today. And I just offer two things in question here. First, how can you justify, as a top priority, removing the chief? Something that, while it is broadcast nationally, is something more local than, for example, TV shows that have been syndicated from the 30s, the 40s, and 50s that display Jews, blacks, women, so on and so forth, in a very improper and degrading manner. Those still show on TV every day, nationwide, all the time. Yet that has not come under fire. It's the chief here. I second like to say, you always hear about this Tacos Tequila and Carlos Mencia saying bad things, but you never hear Chris Rock and Richard Pryor perpetuating something against what we are all putting as the bad white man. I know how this makes me look bad, but I sincerely believe this. Two things. One, I am not native of this country. I come from the Holocaust, where 6 million of my people were killed. Does that give me the right to make jokes against Germans and at their expense? So what reason do you feel that you have, despite the injustices, which I am not saying are something that are, they're horrible, what reason do you have to make fun of them but still say they cannot say anything in return? I say this too. You say, you don't offer any logical solutions, you say get rid of it, and you perpetuate this violent stereotype that exists, that we're all ignorant and I think the words were not bright. So wouldn't there be, beyond the funding issue, there's an issue, there's the riot possibility if it was removed. I say offer a feasible solution that's in everyone's favor, something that can keep the funding in this school. And for the record, despite their human rights violation, I feel that Coca-Cola makes a damn fine product.
My name is Remedios Piña. I am a junior in LAS. I don't want to attack you. I don't want to make you be on the defensive, but please, please understand what it feels like for us when we walk into classrooms and there's only one person of color. Please understand what it feels like when we walk into offices that are supposed to help us and we see the chief today, tomorrow, forever. Please understand that it hurts every single person in this room, and it hurts me. And I don't know if I can be proud to be graduating from this university if racist stereotypes can continue like that.
Quickly.
I just wanted to say, I came down here from Chicago today, and I wasn't going to say anything. I'm not Native American. I was just coming to be here, to hear things. But I am Jewish. I lost over 90 members of my family in the Holocaust that young man was talking about, the one who said, you don't have any reason to make jokes. Hitler learned to put Jews on trains in cattle cars from reading American history and what Americans in the American government did to the Apaches, did to the Sioux, cramming them into trains, taking them out to the desert and leaving them to die. And I don't know if that young man knew that. He left the room, but he does not speak for me. He does not speak for people who lost family in the Holocaust or any genocide.
My name is Andrew Boyle. I'm a student at this university. I'm a teaching assistant, and I'm the president of the Graduate Employees Organization, the GEO. The GEO has a standing policy of opposition to the continued use of the chief. The existence of the chief and its endorsement by the university is oppressive to our members and to our students and interferes with their ability to fully discharge their duties, particularly, though not only, when teaching in such fields as history, critical race theory, communications, sociology, and cultural studies, and far more. President White, you write and speak a lot about leadership. There's far more to leadership than just managing resources or having an affable manner. These are ultimately merely managerial. At heart, leadership is about setting an example, about leading, about recognizing what is right and doing it. President White, it's important that you be a leader to this campus and this community, and join us in calling on the Board of Trustees to abolish the chief, because it's past time. Thank you.
My name is Belden Fields. I'm a professor emeritus of political science. I chair the Committee on Equal Opportunity of the Senate. I want to point out that the Senate has not once but twice voted to eliminate the chief. My committee still holds to that position and still makes representations of that. Also, the UP, the University of Professional Employees, has come out against the chief. I want to say something to the speaker before me on this aisle. I also am a scholar in the area of human rights. And if you read the International Convention on the Prevention of the Crime of Genocide, you will find that it not only applies to the physical elimination of a group, but it also applies to the creating of physical and mental harm to an ethnic, a racial, a religious, or a national group. We certainly have seen that this representation has caused mental harm to a group that has been subjected to physical genocide in our time. And I want to say to my fellow Jew who spoke before me, because part of my mother's family died in Europe, that if we can't recognize the genocide of other people, and if we can't recognize what perpetuates it, we should be damned ashamed about that.
About why we stand here right now. This forum is not happening because we were invited by the administrators. The panelists aren't here because they automatically saw the importance of this event. Every step of the way, we're here because the community demanded that this happen. We stood up and we speak out, and this is why this is happening. Forums such as this have happened before, but this time we will not let it end here. In this moment, we want to read to you the stop demands for critical changes on this campus. It's a historic moment on this campus. We're here to empower our voices, to break the culture of silence about what happens on this campus every day, and to publicly acknowledge the critical barriers facing every institution in America: racism, privilege, and disparate power. These demands are the result of intense critique and revision by one of the most broad-based, energized coalition of students, faculty, and community members this university has seen. Every person in this room has a printed copy of these demands. They're before us, they're spoken, they're supported, and they're posted at iresist.org/stop, where we'll have all the follow-up and materials of this forum. We're going to watch carefully about what happens with these. 15 years ago on this campus, the 92 demands were presented on the campus. 15 years later, some of them appear again right here, and they haven't been fulfilled. If we don't hear and see a response, you will hear from us. We're going to read through the main categories of the demands.
We demand that the UIUC administration facilitate the unconditional removal of Chief Alanowick and eliminate the use of American Indian imagery.
We demand that a series of systemic action be taken to ensure that UIUC campus be an environment that is safe and hospitable to all student population.
We demand that a consistent and transparent process for student advocacy be executed to represent students' academic needs and community interests.
We demand increasing academic resources and administrative support for all ethnic studies programs, gender and women's studies, and LGBT programs at both the undergraduate and graduate levels.
We demand that the university embark upon an aggressive plan to recruit and retain tenure-track faculty, staff, administration from marginalized populations across all university disciplines and professional programs, including such areas as philosophy, engineering, mathematics, and the sciences.
We demand that the university embark upon an aggressive plan to recruit and retain undergraduate and graduate students from marginalized populations.
We demand that the university not renew or enter into any contracts or business relationships which violate human rights, exploit workers, or promote environmental degradation.
What I'd like to do is first welcome and introduce our panelists. I'd like to welcome President Joseph White, Chancellor Richard Herman, Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, Renee Romano, Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs, Linda Katehi, Dean of Students, William Riley, and Board of Trustees Chairman, Lawrence Epley, and then also the President of the Faculty Senate, Vernon Burton.
President White, a lot of people want to talk to you, and it seems a lot of people do want to talk about the Chief. Would President White please tell the UIUC community what the strategic plan of the Board of Trustees is towards retiring Chief Alanowick as the mascot, symbol, icon at this campus? And when are you planning to change that?
I hear you, and the comments have a big effect on me, as they always do. People who spoke said that I have thought, written, spoken about leadership, and it's true. Leadership is a tremendous privilege, and with it goes a lot of responsibility. And I think the messages today that I'm hearing from you are about your view of my responsibilities. I love the phrase, speaking truth to power. I think that's what you've done. It's also important to say that there are a lot of different views of the truth out there. You are among the owners of the university, and you've spoken your views today. Yeah, the answer to the question is, I am not going to communicate the Board of Trustees' plan for the future of Chief Alanowick. Chair of the Board, Larry Epley, said at the last board meeting that the matter of Chief Alanowick will be resolved in 2007. That's what I can report to you. It came from the Chair of the Board.
There is a related question, President White, concerning your personal feelings, and people want to know how you feel personally.
I have chosen not to speak publicly about my views on the Chief. That is my view here. I want you to understand this. I have a completely clear conscience with regard to my position and my actions on Chief Alanowick. I am accountable to my conscience. I have a completely clear conscience on this matter.
If we really mean to solve racism as it is, why are all the panelists white?
Is that a question?
Yep, that is a question.
And what is the question?
The question is, how come everyone at the table is white? What is that saying?
I have spent 30 years advancing women and minorities in organizations, and I continue to do it today because everybody holding the positions for which you invited is as you see them.
The people who sit here are the result of searches, and these are national searches, and we have always asked that women and minorities be among those forcefully considered. What has happened is what you see before you that may or may not be acceptable. There has been a change in the face of Swanland. It is not fully representative of society. That is definitely the case.
White people can be as dedicated to issues of inclusion as everyone. I'm convinced that we need everyone. We need this whole community to move forward.
we are not as active as we might be in communicating what it is we are doing. We need to be clearer about the values that constitute community here. And I think that, I mean, I have personally spoken out against things like the Muslim cartoons, which were, to me, not towards community. Not illegal. It fell under free speech. But it is not the sort of thing that I wanted to see representing this community. So I think part of it is, and it gets to issues of silence that we spoke about earlier. Silence is the worst thing that can, it's not the worst thing that can happen, but we owe it to ourselves not to be silent. And this forum is one of the best examples of that.
There have been concerns raised about the processing of hate crimes. How are they processed? What is the process that's in place? And how effective do you see that? Because there are concerns. The concerns are growing. There are concerns now about physical safety.
What will you do to increase enrollment, retention, and graduation of African-American, Latino, Native American, Asian American, and lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender students?
We are not yet where we want to be. This came through the injection of resources. Resources have been called for earlier to be added into the studies programs and the cultural houses. This has been done in great number, and I'd be happy to share those figures. Are we where we need to be? No.
Sexual identity, much like race, is something we are born with and cannot choose for ourselves. While I endorse the cultural studies programs on campus designated for individual races, such as Asian American Studies, African American Studies, I must ask why, while LGBT resources are limited to an office in the union as opposed to a center, and why the academic resources about sexual identity are so limited, ultimately encouraging homophobia across campus?
Up until about 3 years ago, that in fact was the case. 2.5 years ago now, we injected considerable financial resources into that program.
What I'm hearing that question also say is that while additional resources have been invested, it still doesn't seem to be enough to address some of the concern. And so maybe you could talk to the additional resource point.
Well, I mean, I think the issue is how we work together to recruit faculty and students. We are having those discussions.
There's a perception that there's growing hostility here, and when it comes to recruiting people from traditionally marginalized groups, that is a factor, and I assume that you all recognize that. What does leadership require in this context to establish an environment where people do feel safe, where they do feel that they can come here and study and achieve at their greatest potential? And anybody can jump in. President White, you can certainly talk about that.
When I became president, I articulated a goal that the University of Illinois would be a model of a diverse human community. I'm hearing tonight, no surprise, that we're a very long way from that in the experience of many people who are here. It is surprising how limited leaders are in their ability to achieve these goals.
Why are certain departments allowed to have all white employees and faculty and not forced to diversify? So this deals with the issues of recruitment that you spoke to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have to describe a little bit, give you a sense of my experience or experiences. When I started as a student in engineering, we were 2 female students in a class of 150. When I started as an assistant professor at the University of Michigan, we were 3 female faculty in a department of 100, in a college of 350. In my whole career, I've been the minority in my own professional field, and I made a promise to myself that I would make sure that I would do the best I can to change that. Have I been successful as an administrator? Not always. There have been a lot of ups and downs. I have been happy at times and very disappointed at others. And the reason for that is we have, in an academic environment, a process that is based very much on faculty governance. This is our culture. This is the academic culture. And yet, I truly believe in diversity because it's an attribute of quality. It will help us. It helps institutions in achieving the kind of excellence, quality they aspire to. It takes time to do that. It's something absolutely critical for us. We are committed to doing this. Yet we have processes we all observe and we all protect, which will allow faculty to participate in those activities, in those processes of recruiting, of hiring, and of retention. And we try very hard to change the culture. So the last one thing I would like to say, that we'll spend a lot of effort and time and money in trying to bring the best, diversify our community, and change our culture, and that's critical for us.
I think the point that Provost Katehi is making here is we don't sit here and declare degree programs. We ask important questions, then we ask our faculty colleagues to provide judgment. The degree programs will have to pass through the Senate, but we're provoking the question.
We do have a process. This is, in fact, the heart of the institution, the academic process that we observe and protect. And we may support programs, but eventually it is that process that will justify the creation of these programs, and we will be behind it.
Let's see. There's a question, again, returning to the chief issue that just has to wonder out loud. What's the reason the board is, there's a lack of action about Chief Alinawek from the board, and wanted some observations about that.
Well, I think from observation, I can say the reason for lack of action from the board is that the board is not of one mind on the matter. It's not complicated. When you have a group of people and they're not of one mind and you have to decide what to do, it's very hard to make a decision. That's the reason.
The other kind of follow-up to the question that the person had on the card was, do you think the racial makeup of the board has anything to do with the lack of action?
I have no comment on that.
Are we providing the voice of the folks that have provided questions here?
Actually, there are a lot of board questions, and a lot of them are related, so we'll throw this one out there. Where are the members of the Board of Trustees? Why aren't they here? Anyone can step up. Anyone who has any information.
The proper respondents are present, right? I mean, who, are you asking me?
Well, I mean, anyone who has any information about the... attendance.
I don't think
any of us on the panel should speak for the board.
Okay.
Well, you know, we've sort of talked around the issue of climate and the hostile environment that a lot of people perceive here. And of course, President White, you've talked about how difficult it is to exert leadership. And there are a number of questions that come up here about the response to the tacos and tequila incident and whether the university's response was sufficient. And obviously there are several levels of response. One is disciplinary action. There's some question about that. Apparently people aren't fully aware of what happened, what the outcome is. You know, we also look at the appropriate statement that comes out. We've seen statements from other universities that have been much, much stronger than ours. And so how do you feel about that? Was the response adequate? Do you think you could have said more, Chancellor, about the incident, your personal feelings about this? Tell us something that'll give people some comfort and satisfaction here.
Sure. Okay. Well, let me answer the question. I'll leave it to you to judge whether you're satisfied with it. You know, I asked Vice Chancellor Romano to respond to that at the first level because, in fact, the fraternity sorority system reports into student affairs. Okay, so, and I don't know whether the statement came out at 4:39 p.m. on whatever day, but I did feel eventually that as I watched things, I did need to speak out. Now, I chose to balance my comment in the sense that I knew that the fraternity and the sorority were coming before a disciplinary committee. And it was my feeling at the time that, in fact, were I to provide too strong a condemnation, that they could not get a fair hearing. Now, whether or not that's right or wrong, that was my motivation. Do I feel that there was a lot of racism associated with that? Yes. But I did temper my remarks in the public statement, and for the very reasons I said. Now, it's up to you to judge whether that's right or wrong, but I think, given the lengthy time, and that's one of the things about, it's one of the great things in a way, but sometimes a vexing thing about a public institution, that our processes are longer and more involved than those at private ones. But I will tell you this, I would not trade it. I would not trade it for a minute. I mean, we dare not sweep away those processes and rules and laws which guide us, because if we do it for one thing, then it'll be done for every. So I allowed the process to take place, and that was, in fact, the reason for my tempered remarks. Let me say, as we began thinking about this forum, my biggest worry was that we would just wring our hands. And I think what has come out, quite to the contrary, a set of specific actions which we should engage in. And I think if you look at the list of demands, as we have just here on the panel, many of these things are underway, and many of these things will be accelerated by the forum, the comments we've heard today. So thank you.
My name is Trevor. I'm a senior in the geography department, and just have a few words to say. As this forum draws to a close, we are left standing at a precipice. Which way will we go? It is an important question. As each of us departs from this space of reflection and engagement, we will leave this place still faced with the visceral reality of the campus climate. In case you were wondering, the barometric reading has not changed in the last 2 hours. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus is still plagued by the same pathologies of racism, hegemony, and silence that were present when each of us walked through the door of this auditorium. That, students, faculty, community members, is why what you choose to do after you leave this place is so incredibly important. In order for us to move forward as a community, we must treat this public forum as a starting point. We must continue to openly acknowledge our maladies as a campus and reject the culture of silence that is so pervasive here, as well as the inclination to eschew openness and honesty in order to avoid airing our dirty laundry. The issues of racism, classism, heterosexism, and unequal access that we face on this campus are indelibly branded on the very fabric of our society. To continue to ignore them here in the interest of saving face only makes them more endemic. Besides recognizing barriers to change, we must also take ownership of the process. I charge the panelists to assume the role of actively pursuing progress. The era of spending decades compiling reports followed by a paucity of action must come to an end. One of the guiding principles listed in the most recent strategic plan states the university's intent to educate students to act as citizens of the nation in an ever-shrinking and interdependent world, cultivating through our curricula the idea that the betterment of humanity is our business. I challenge the power structure of this university to give those words life through action. A first demonstration of such action being a collaboration on the part of the panelists with the appropriate campus units to issue a public response within 14 business days to the forum and the proposed avenues of change presented by the students. This written statement should detail concrete actions and specific university resources that can be used to actualize broad-based changes on our campus. The recurrence of racist parties, hate crimes, and acts of intolerance on this campus, to me, bespeaks a serious fracture in the educational process, and I hope the panelists will think, and most importantly, act seriously towards upholding the educative values of this so-called institution of higher learning. I also challenge each of you who sit on this stage to stand in solidarity with the members of this community who speak against injustice every day at the expense of our own personal safety. As students, faculty, and community members, we must also take ownership of the process of change. Time is not on our side in this highly transitory environment. It has been 15 years since 1992 when Latino students demanded increased access to the university and its resources, as well as the retirement of the racist mascot. Flashing forward to 2007, we're asking for some of the very same things, including the retirement of the racist mascot. Even this very event is a result of the students and faculty members demanding a space to address the campus climate. Throughout the existence of this university, student, faculty, and community activism has been pivotal in creating positive change, and as such, we are challenged with continuing that legacy. And I really want to stress to the students and the faculty and the community member that it is not enough to just be here. We must all commit to struggle, to fight, and to resist until this campus truly becomes the paragon of global excellence that it claims to be. When we leave this space, What will we impart upon the next generation of students? We must be actively engaged in creating for ourselves and those who will come after us a position within the power structure of the university so that our voices, our experiences, and our ideas are permanently incorporated into the policies and procedures of this university. What we need is a permanent place at the table where decisions are made. And we must get this, even if it involves unpleasant and painful confrontation, such as the physical violence that our 1992 predecessors were met with during a nonviolent protest held at Henry Administration Building, or threats of physical violence that students have received this past semester as a result of their activism. I would really encourage the students and the faculty to come into the fullness and the understanding of their own power. Not only are we sources of labor and ideas, but we are fiscal contributors to this institution. And while the individuals that run this institution are accountable to their own consciences, they're also accountable to us, and we must hold them accountable. And legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, President White closed his keynote address emphasizing the coupling of a deep sense of outrage with an unshakable commitment of change. I'm outraged and I want to see change, and we seem outraged, so we need to commit to seeing that change happen. I would just really like to reiterate those sentiments and strongly encourage all of us to make the betterment of this campus our business. Thank you.
My name is Candace Neal. I'm a sophomore. Well, I have two reasons for coming. One, because I wanted to see what basically the administration had to say about the parties and basically Chief Alanawick and what they were going to do to resolve the tensions and the questions the university, the students or whatnot had to say about it. And basically my reactions were, I don't know if it was just me, but when they had like the question and answer from the panel, it seems like some of them were dodging the questions, like they weren't really giving a straight answer. And I could hear people getting frustrated, like, but you're not really answering the question. What are you going to do?
My name is Steven Rosado. I'm a senior. I came to this event because it's a much-needed event, and it was an event that needed to happen to put responsibility on university administrators, letting know that they're responsible to us. They work for us, and I don't know if they really realize that they work for us, not only as students, but as tax-paying citizens of the state, and we had to get that point across them. It's a really powerful event with the list of demands.
Yeah, what did you think about those demands?
I think they're great. Come through with these concrete demands that, you know, articulate perfectly, verbatim, word for word, what the coalition is seeking to accomplish, and I think the demands were great.
I think the questions were very concrete. The responses were more elusive. Let's say regarding climate, the environment, the issues of safety for students of color. I do feel that they could have been more precise about how they're going to address the issue of safety. They did not come up with a concrete steps to be taken in order to take care of the safety, especially for students and faculty and staff of color.
This is Dr. Sundiata Tajua, Director of African American Studies.
I think that what this demonstrated is that for the first time, the university is confronted with a very highly organized group of students and faculty who are going to be persistent this time around these issues. I thought that the forum demonstrated the real power and the intelligence and commitment of those students and faculty who helped put this together. And what I thought was really powerful was the student testimony to their experiences here. I don't think the administrators have a clue of what it's like to be a student of color, even to be a faculty of color on this campus. And it's clear that the mascot creates this leaping cancer of evil that is easily then latched on to by racists. You know, I reject the notion that they're ignorant. They're not ignorant. They're functioning on the basis of the racial knowledge that they have. And we have to understand that and not treat them as quote-unquote dumb or youthful. These are conscious, willful acts. So I thought that having students tell what they had experienced on this campus had the capacity to reach and touch the administrators on the panel and give them a real sense why we have to not only get rid of the chief, but why you have to take tough stands as soon as these kinds of racist practices like tacos and tequila rear their head.
Sure.
You have to come down on it hard.
Did you get the sense that the administrators got that message?
I got the sense that they got the message, but I didn't get the sense that they were prepared to state very clearly that they are going to act. You know, there's a difference between whether or not they heard it and presented and whether or not they're prepared to carry it out. I do think that we're going to see some positive initiative. I think that became clear, and we heard things we haven't heard before. So I'm hopeful, far more hopeful than I thought I would.
This is a multicultural coalition. A lot of coalitions don't tend to last very long. What advice do you give to the students?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm going to say again,
Once the students realized that the power was in bridging their racial ethnic differences and forming a multiracial coalition and focusing on their similarities, they achieved things already that has not been achieved by student groups in the history of this university. Even in the 60s, they did not achieve what's been achieved. And I think that we need to understand that this unity that's been achieved isn't simply about campus. It's about forging links and ties in our community. If we look at what's going on in L.A. between blacks and Mexicans, we look around the country and we see these kinds of divisions, what's happening here poses the possibility that we can begin to heal those, organize ourselves collectively, and target the problems, target racism, capitalism, and those forces that oppress us. So what I would say to the coalition, be ever vigilant, grow the coalition. That's all I can say, grow the coalition.
What do you feel is the responsibility of the administration at UIUC in addressing these issues?
Well, clearly, as a state taxpayer, a Native American taxpayer, all Native Americans should have equal access to either institution. Clearly, there's a difference that this access that, you know, we see the numbers from Chicago that really represent the Chicago-Champaign-Urbana corridor of students that come from that metropolitan area. We're not seeing that same sort of growth in transportation down to this institution by Native American students. So I think that there's a responsibility to the taxpayers, to the state of Illinois, to really look at that as a severe problem of the institution not embracing ideas of equal access for all. I also think that the organization has to make some really big decisions. Max Weber talked about cultural void, that when an organization shifts its paradigm and something changes, that a new culture will develop. And I really think we're at that point of a cultural shift. It's very clear that through the issue being very serious, the administration has to make a decision, and they know they can't go back, but they don't know where to go. So we're really at a point of being organizational cultural void. Now, the big question is in the development of a new organizational culture, if it is not managed in a sense that has ethical leadership guiding it, there is really some serious problems that could develop in backlash in the communities that are really ingrained with the ideology of the chief. And I really think that, again, goes back to the larger cultural problem of not having any Native American voice within this area because of complete removal through the Indian Removal Act. As the university develops, you know, so does the culture of the United States and the state of Illinois and the institution of the University of Illinois. And so there's a lot of strong, deep-seated sentiment for this mascot that is very hard to unpack. I went to a basketball game recently. I've tried to avoid him because it is hard to see the chief go. I really didn't want to watch the chief, but what I really wanted to observe was the audience. And in that observation of the audience, there was a very stark moment for me that really caused me to deep hurt inside of me when I saw this 3 or 4 year old little boy standing on the seat watching the chief dancing with his father. And I could look in his eyes and I could tell he's trying to figure out, what does this mean? That he had no frame of reference probably to really understand what this meant. So the development of his understanding of the chief is all of a sudden an emotional state of reality that is part of his history ingrained into his persona and his psyche. And I really think that that is why this is such a deep-seated issue, is that there's a culture of these small towns that circumnavigate the University of Illinois. These are the employees that work at the University of Illinois. And these are the employees that are also owed a responsibility by administration and leadership to help unpack a very serious issue. And I think that that is a very big question that they need to turn to the resources of the university to really try to figure out how they're going to move forward in a healthy organizational culture where backlash doesn't ensue from some sort of decision that they're going to have to make.
This program has been produced by the Liberacion Radio Collective, a community grassroots effort that seeks to embrace a vision of freedom, solidarity, and social change. We hope you'll join us in the struggle.
This story's right, this story's true. I would not tell lies to you, like the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep. Said to us, come take our hand, set us up on mission land. Told us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children away, took the children away. the children away, snatch from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took them away. The wealthy and the police came, said you've got to understand, we'll give to them what you can't give, teach them how to really live, teach them how to live their self, humiliated them instead, taught them that and taught them this, and others taught them prejudice, you took the children away, the children away, breaking their mother's heart, caring us all about, took them away. One dark day on Framlingham, came and didn't give a damn, my mother cried, go get their dad. He came running, frightened me. Mother's tears were falling down. Dad shaped up and stood his ground. He said, you touch my kids and you fight me. Then they took the stronger family, took us away. They took us away, snatched from our mother's grace, said this is for the best, took us away. They split us up again and gave us gifts to ease the pain. Sent us off to foster homes. As we grew up, we felt alone, 'cause we were acting white, yet feeling black. One sweet day, all the children came back, the children came back. The children came back where their hearts grow strong, back where they all belong. The children came back, said the children came back. The children came back where they understand, back to their mother's land. The children came back, back to their mother, back to their father, back to their sister, back to their brother, back to their people, back to their land. All the children came back. The children came back. Yes, I can.